Welcome to another podcast from Air Insight, LLC.
Today is April the 9th, and the Air Insight team is back, and we have John Ostrower from Flight Blogger joining us today, and we're going to talk about the conference call that Boeing just completed on the 787 delay version 3. And to start this off, Scott, what is your take on the call?
Well, I thought that Pat Shanahan sounded much more confident this time than he did on either the October or January calls. Clearly, he had a much better handle on the timing. He had a much better handle on the problems. Sounded much more confident as to things going forward. And the stock market reacted very positively to that. The stock was up throughout. John?
Well, I thought what was interesting was not necessarily what was shared during the call, but sort of the long-term projections that I think we can look at in terms of looking at the 787-9 and the impact on the 787-10. I think as the -10 gets pushed out even farther beyond 2012, which was the original entry into service for the -10, you start looking at a 777 replacement as potentially a more viable option at 300 seats. I'm just kind of looking at where the market's going to be in the middle of the next decade. In terms of first flight and power on, what we really see is I definitely got the same sense that Scott did in terms of the tone of the call. I really think that both Carson and Shanahan did come with a mea culpa attitude, but also a strong degree of confidence for the new schedule, which I think is the most conservative schedule that they've come out with. And I think they've taken a lot of risk out of the system right now. I think that they're well positioned to move ahead into the next phases. But I think we're going to see some interesting stuff happen with power on, and also as systems begin to mature when they're actually turned on inside the aircraft.
I think the tone was certainly much more confident and much more positive. I agree. Obviously, there's still some risks that exist, but as they were saying, they're 85% through many of the tasks, which leaves 15% left. So whether that's the toughest 15 to finish or not is a question in terms of risk. But from my take, the interesting thing was the -3 coming after the -9. And perhaps never coming if those 43 orders can be changed to some other variant of the airplane. The -3 may in fact be dying.
I just want to bring up one point on the -3. I don't think they actually changed the sequencing. I still think it goes -8, -3, -9, which was the original plan. I think what was missing was any kind of definitive entry for the -3.
As Scott Carson was certainly less than enthusiastic in endorsing the -3 and less than definitive in endorsing the -3. And if you also take a look at the press release, they had a definitive year of entry into service for the -9. But all they say on the -3 is, well, it was previously slated to deliver in 2010. It will now become the second derivative of the airplane family. There was a noticeable lack of definition for the -3.
My take on that, Scott, was that it's that the -3 is going to disappear.
I think I concur with that, actually.
I agree as well.
I'm interested that all three of you take the upbeat, I guess you come away from a little upbeat the call. Why do you think you can trust this particular feedback compared to the previous feedback? Those were also confident, they were strong, and then the whole thing fell apart. What makes you think this won't fall apart now?
Well, I'll tackle that one first. I think part of it is, as Shanahan said, that they're much further down the road on this program now. They have a better handle on the supply chain, although we did acknowledge that's still the one area where you have the greatest risk. They have made some significant progress on their airplanes. They've got 75% fewer issues with airplane number 3. They have only 15% component testing remaining. It's just, I think, to a large degree, the natural progression of the program. Gentlemen, what do you think?
This is Ernie. I'll take the next shot at that. I would tend to concur with Scott's assessment. That doesn't mean there won't be any more surprises, but I think they've been hit pretty hard, and I think the reason they padded the schedule a little bit and added another 2 months was just to anticipate future problems that they may not know of. Even though they're feeling pretty confident, they've stretched the time frames. So I think they're cautiously optimistic, and I would be cautiously optimistic as well.
Also, just I want to add one thing to that. Based on the folks that I've spoken to directly on the program, this is the first time their assessment of where things stand fully lines up with, or more completely lines up, I should say, with what we're hearing from the official line from the program itself. So I feel like that is definitely a step in terms of reconciling gap between an overly optimistic assessment and comparing that to where the program really stands. So I think we're in terms of reconciling those two. I think there's a great deal of confidence that I think we can glean from this current plan, just because based on the level of specificity and the padding built into it.
And that is the end of our analysis, our quick analysis of the conference call with Boeing today on their 787 program. Thank you, gentlemen.
This podcast is copyrighted by Air Insight LLC.